That's right, London. Here we are in wonderful Great Britain with the overcast skies and the rain here and there and the beautiful little pond outside with the fish swimming around in it and the frogs and the tadpoles and all the wonderful little creatures and lovely garden surrounding this beautiful house of Christie as she lives here going on 8 years, having the time of her life. And what does she do while she lives here? Well, Christie is a woman of deep-set morals. Her morals operate her life. Her morals control her life. Her morals guide her life. Her morals keep her life doing what she wants it to do. But her morals are not what you think they are. Her morals are not against things. Her morals are to do things. She has a moral, and that moral is to live principle 100% in her life in awareness of what principle is. Her moral is to be herself and have fun. Her moral is to find good and beauty everywhere she goes. When Christie walks into a room, when she walks into a room and sees people there, she sees the people. She sees their radiant presence. She sees their blowing smiles. She sees their attitudes, which are all a reflection of hers. And she sees. Now, what Christie doesn't see, and this really is such a sad thing, what Christie doesn't see anything that can be improved in the person. Christie doesn't see anything that can be improved in the house or the room. Christie does not look for ways of dusting the furniture. She does not look for ways of sorting the papers and jogging them and putting them nicely on the coffee table. Christie doesn't even know there's paper on the coffee table. She doesn't even know there are magazines there in disarray. She doesn't even know that the house for 1 second is not absolutely perfect. All that Christie knows is that she's the creator of her world, and she creates beautiful, perfect beings in her world and beautiful, perfect circumstances. Now, if you were to look at Christie and you were to see her as a normal human being, you'd say, what an ignorant person she is. What an unaware person she is to walk into this house and see it a mess and not let it be touching her at all. And then you ask yourself the question, how do you define a master? A master is one who is untouched by his environment, who creates his own environment by his thought, by his words, by his deeds. Wherever a master goes, a master only sees another master and only sees everything in divine order. So, when you and I, who think we're so smart, judge other people on how they maintain their homes and how they maintain their cars and how they maintain their children and their husbands and wives and families, as we judge them, we have lost the greatest blessing that could ever be given to us. And that blessing is that I love you because I love me, but I love you just the way you are. I don't see you any different. I see your charisma, I see your radiance coming forth, and that is what I value. I value you as a spiritually illumined being. I value you as a master. I value you fantastic. Now, we were in Christie's office here, and as we were there, we were working on her scanner and her computer and her printer and her other computer and her other computer and her other printers and scanners, and then we went into no man's land. And no man's land is under the desk where all the spaghetti is kept, where the spaghetti just drops down whenever it is put into use, and then another one on top of it and another one on top of it until it becomes such an interesting tangle that you think to yourself, what good can come out of that tangle? Yet out of every desk of every computer virtually in the world, people have spaghetti. They have the power cord, they have the USB cords, they have the printer cord, they have a cord for virtually everything. And when all of these cords are said and done, most of them could be disposed of. Now, Christie has computers that are in good condition, and they work fine, but the computers are coming along with a new breed, and they're being wireless. And so Christie knows that her computers are wireless, and she must make an adjustment to take off the wire. But if you got something that operates with the wire on, you don't take the wire off, because why mess up something that works? And now I look at it and I say, Christie, do you like doing these things? Do you like fooling around with these wires? And Christie says, I don't mind. I do whatever has to be done. I said, now, what about Ugo? Does he like these mechanical things? Does he like these working with plugs and wires and computers and adjusting things? She said, no, he just likes to talk, and he just likes to do his work, and he likes everything to function, but he doesn't want to get involved. He knows there's a plug you put in for this and a plug you put in for that, and you get results. And what happens to him? He gets results. Now, why is it that Christie has spaghetti under her desk? Well, Christie has spaghetti under her desk because I did not keep my consciousness clean. If I looked under her desk, she invited me to look under her desk. If I looked under her desk and saw it in spaghetti land, then that's me. But if I look under her desk and I say, what an amazing arrangement of cords you have. You are just magic that you can have these cords go in and out of here like just Alice in Wonderland. It's really beautiful. You really are a most amazing lady. Now, why would I say something like that? Because I am a most amazing man. And I look at my life and my world and my house in perfect order. But you see, I did something Christie didn't do. I took all my spaghetti and pushed it to the back of my under the desk area, and I got a board that fit perfectly in front of it and set it in front of it. So now when I look under my desk, I just see Clearville, you know, beautiful, perfect. Now, mentally, I look at Christie's desk and I look underneath it and I see my board there. Actually, it's her board. And I see the board under the desk, and everything is perfect. Everything is in its divine order, and everything operates perfectly. And Christie says, my goodness, what did you do in here? You know, I have tons of room. And I said, well, I just covered it up. Now, Christie, I didn't just cover it up. Actually, I covered it up before I came in here. Because in my mind, Christie has the perfect desk with the perfect arrangement of everything. And when I walked into her office, there it was. The perfect desk with the perfect arrangement of everything, operating perfectly. Now you say, well, why were you moving the plugs around? Why were you checking it? Why were you doing anything? Because it's fun. Because it's fun. Have you ever taken a brand new car with a perfect coat of polish on and polished it? Do you ever take a brand new car, and if one speck of dust gets on it, you take your handkerchief and you wipe it off? You know, and if anyone puts their hand on your car, you say, don't put your hand on there, I don't want oil off your hand on my car, you know. And here it is, going outdoors, driving through air at 50, 60 miles an hour, and all the birds' droppings come on it, and all the bugs touch it, and so on. But you see, all right, what happens after you've had a car for a little while? You no longer do that. Is it that the car is not as good? No, you become accustomed to it. You become accustomed to the car, and you see the car perfect, because that's the way you maintain it, and that's the way you think about it. You see the car perfect, 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 you see the car perfect. Now, you drive around, the car is perfect. Everybody looks, ooh, you got a new car. It looks nice. Ooh, how wonderful your new car looks. Oh, how do you keep your car so spotless? I know it's new, but you use it too. You drive all over the place. You know, you put on lots of miles every week. How do you keep it so spotless? Oh, I hadn't really thought about it, except that when it was new, I thought it was pure perfect. And I always said, be careful, don't put any dust on it. No dust, it's pure and perfect. And that's the consciousness I have of my car, and I keep of my car all the time. Pure and perfect, pure and perfect, pure and perfect. Okay, now you tell me, here it is 6 months into my car, woo-hoo, and I've driven 60,000 miles of it, and it is still pure and perfect. The original shine is there. The original polish is there. The original quality is there. The original new car smell inside the car is still there. You know. So, how did I do that? How did I do that? Well, when I got my car, I blessed it, and I surrounded it with my pure white light of love, and I saw that it was perfect and beautiful, and I maintained that vision all the time. My moral was that my car is perfect. My car is absolute. People say, oh, did you see the ding here? Why are you looking for dings on your car? Why don't you look for perfection on your car? And if the dings are there, you won't see them. Also, you won't create the dings being there because you're creating your car perfect. Now, if you would like to have a relationship with a person and this person is a friend, are you going to go to that friend and say, boy, you stink. Boy, you need a bath. Boy, you should polish your shoes. Boy, don't you ever iron your pants? You know? Don't you ever put on anything fresh? You know, you say that to a person, and they won't be your friend. Not because you're right or wrong, but because you don't see them as a friend. You see them as something to change. Husbands and wives who get together, and they decide they're going to change each other. They don't last very long. Because they're not in love with the charisma of the person. They're in love with the exterior appearances. Now, how do you see the world as you are, as a master? How do you see the world as a master? How do you see yourself as a master? And how do you go around the world creating yourself as a master? Well, you just buy a new car. You buy a new car every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes you buy a new car. You drive over to a friend's house and you take the car along and say, how do you like my new car? And they say, it's the same color as the last one. When did you get this? Oh, about 4 months ago. Oh, you call it new yet? Sure. Because in my consciousness it's new. Talk to another friend, how do you like my new car? That's the same model that you had before. Same color you had before. Yeah, it's the same car I had before too, but it is my new car, because always I have the thought in my consciousness that my car is a new car. And my car is a new car because that's the way I conceive it to be. That's the way I live it. Now, I don't usually say to you, how do you like my new car? Because I don't care about your opinion. I have my opinion, and my opinion is that my car is gorgeous. My car is wonderful. My car is beautifully maintained. My car is perfect in every possible way. See? So now, when I think these thoughts, what happens? That's what I experience. Yeah. And as a master consciousness, oh, that's kind of big, master consciousness. Who do you think you are, something better than anybody else? No. If I buy a car, and I say, I'm a driver, you say, okay. If you say, I'm a good driver, you say, okay, you didn't get any tickets, huh? Well, no. I'm a good driver. Well, what makes you a good driver? I went to the racetrack and trained. I had these top race car drivers train me in driving so that I could get the most out of the car. Not fast, but get the most out of the car in the miles and the turns and all these things. Well, I thought they'd be teaching you how to drive fast. They taught me how to drive perfectly, how to treat the car like a beautiful woman that you want to caress and love. You just gently smooth the into the curves. You gently move it around where you want to go. You think of that car as your gem, as your prize, as your glory. And the car is that. Well, it is a good-looking car you got. You bet it is. Every single time I think of my car, I say, my beautiful car. Oh, my beautiful car. You know, a lot of people say, my beautiful son, my beautiful daughter. My successful son, my successful daughter. And the son and daughter may be struggling tremendously. But you, as a parent, see past their struggle, and you know that their genius will unfold a beautiful, fulfilled being. Okay. Why don't you do it for yourself? Why don't you do it for yourself? Why don't you start saying, I like me? Why don't you start saying, I live in a beautiful body? It doesn't matter if your body is red, racked with pain and all sorts of problems. You start saying, I live in a beautiful body. Then you start treating your body like I treat my new car, you know. It's 8 months old, but I treat it like a new car. And I polish it, I love it. I tell the car how wonderful it is. And I say, I surround you with my pure white light of love. When's the last time you surrounded yourself with your pure white light of love? When's the last time you told yourself that you were beautiful? When's the last time you told yourself that you're the most fabulous, glorious person in the world? When's the last time? Maybe a long time ago, if ever. Our difficulty in living in this world and getting the results is that we want to blame other people for our faults, or the economy, or other things. There are people, when the deepest depressions are here, who are making money hand over fist because they're applying themselves. It's not that they have money to invest. It's not that they have anything better than anybody else. But they have a consciousness that likes itself. And so whatever they go through, they're a winner. Whatever situation they're in, they're a winner. However they are greeted by their neighbors, the neighbors say, boy, you got everything. And that's true. While you may not have everything, you have everything according to your neighbor, because your neighbor doesn't see themselves enjoying the abundance that you enjoy. It always amused me in my childhood how our neighbors had houses oftentimes that were bigger than ours, much bigger. And the neighbors ran large manufacturing plants, and the neighbors were theoretically very rich and very, very wonderful people. But their children were not getting enough food at their house, and they'd come over and eat at our house. Now, my dad worked in building and contracting, and he was paid for the jobs that he did, so he had a good cash flow. The other guys worked on credit, and they worked on many other things. Their cash flow wasn't so good. They probably were worth a great deal more than everybody else, but their cash flow wasn't. My dad's cash flow was perfect. Our family cash flow was perfect. We had plenty to eat and share. You see, it's not a matter of what you got the bigger house, you got the bigger car, you got the bigger heart. You got the bigger heart that says, hey, I share with everybody. I'm not interested in owning anything. I just share anything. It passes through my hands for a period of time, and I enjoy it, and then when I'm through using it, I give it to somebody, and I get another one. Because I'm not possessed by anything. And this is what we want to do. We want to be the master. The master is not possessed by a beautiful body. The master has a beautiful body, but the master is not possessed by it. The master is not possessed by of somebody else's wisdom or genius that was greater than theirs. They're just enjoying who they are. Now, when you are ready for such a show, when you are ready for such a demonstration in your life, then you will start to lie to yourself. I'll take a drink on that. What do I mean, lie to yourself? Well, are you a nice person?
Yes.
Why is it that you act like you're not a nice person sometimes? Why is it that you don't, if your body has a sniffle, right away you call it a cold? Or if you have a hurt toe right away, you call it, oh, that's arthritis, rheumatism, you name it, all the genera of ideas that come to your consciousness. What a silly thing to do. So, do you always say, I'm all in perfect? Do you always say, I'm magnificent? Do you always say, I'm surrounded by beautiful people? Do you always say, good goes from me, good comes to me? Do you always say, I am surrounded by the beautiful white light of love, and I surround all in my world with my pure white light of love? Do you always say those things?
Yes.
You always say. I was driving with Christy in the car the other day, and in fact it was today in the morning, and as I was driving along I was singing and very happy, and then I thought to myself, hey, I have not spoken my word to say I am the pure white light of love. I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. I didn't stop to say that. And I thought, now, I don't have to say it. I can know it. But if I know it and I know that I should say it, then I should say it. Now, you don't say it so others can hear it. You say it so your consciousness recognizes, this is me. I am in this car. This car is untouchable. This car is surrounded by the pure white light of love. See, and when you say untouchable, then you're saying that it could be sustain a problem. So, we want to be very careful. Now, when you say, I am the pure white light of love, I surround this car with my pure white light of love, all its ways are peace, all its paths are pleasantness, what you're saying is that you would like it to be that way. You would like that to be the case. You would like it to be the case when people drive unkindly around you, that you are the pure white light of love and you're doing great. You'd like that to be the case. Well, you want to step beyond that. Step beyond that attitude to it is, to my body is the temple of the living spirit. My body and my life and my car and everything is. So I think the point that we're making here now is that it's not that I surround this car with the pure white light of love. See, I'm always changing things. It's not that I surround this car with my pure white light of love. It's that this car is my pure white light of love. And all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasant. This car is. It is a now point of view, and that's good. We used to say, I am ideal man, I am ideal woman. And then we thought, that's not what we want. We want, I am ideal. I am ideal. I am the ultimate. And so when we surround the car with our pure white light of love, we're saying that it had not been surrounded by our pure white light of love before. And that's not what we mean to say, nor is that how we want to say it. So we start saying how it really is. Now, you heard me say we lie to ourselves. Okay. The appearance may not be what we want it to be. We go in to see a person who has a broken leg. We see a person who has a cold. We see a person who has any problem, including ourselves. And when we see this, we immediately change our attitude about it. I look out and see the sky. I see it cloudy and gray. I see it overcast. I see it drizzly. Okay? All of those words are unpleasant. Even drizzly is unpleasant. But I look out at the beautiful sky. Each cloud laden with tons of water to be spread out over the land to nourish it and invigorate it and bring up the flowers, which I look all about me. I see the daffodils and the daisies and the crocus and the rosebud all popping out and getting ready for a wonderful spring and a glorious summer. And as the raindrop falls, oh, what a marvelous raindrop. The raindrops fall heavy enough so my windshield wipers work perfectly. They don't scrape. And it cleans my car. It rinses everything off. It's glorious. Now, when I have that attitude, then I don't have the other intonations in my voice. Because the other intonations in my voice are when I say, I wish, you know. And when we say, I wish, then that's not so. But when we say, it is, that's not so either, because we're not experiencing it right now. Right now we're experiencing a thunderstorm that's terrible. We're experiencing this. No, we aren't. We are experiencing the sky that's laden with tons and tons of water and distributing it all over the world in all the areas to bring up the flowers and bring up the plants and just do its normal, wonderful thing. But it's not doing that. It's not doing... Well, that's the time we should start saying that it is doing that. That's the time we should start putting the cause in motion. And when we put the cause in motion, then we get the results. But are you interested in doing that?
Yes.
And the answer for most people is no. And the reason they're not interested in doing it, it's a lie! Well, you come to the doctor, and you say, Doctor, my son's having a problem. Can you help me? And the doctor says, sure. And so the doctor says, whoops! He's got gangrene on his foot, so we got to chop it off. No, no, no. Well, if we don't, it'll go up his leg and kill him. No, no, no. Well, why did you wait so long? If you had come in when his foot first showed the sign of being needing some special help, we could have done something very quickly for it. But no, you waited and said, I hope. Now, what are you going to do about that? Okay. You come to the hospital and you say, or the doctor, and you say, okay, take care of it. And the doctor looks at the foot. He said, now, how far up should I go? How far in should I go? How far around? And he looks at the foot. And then all of a sudden, the boy is saying, doctor, I feel good. Doctor, I feel something going through me. Doctor, did you touch me? And the doctor touches him. Yes. He wants to get credit. So the boy is saying, I feel so good. I feel so wonderful. Well, what is the son that you feel so wonderful? I just feel so wonderful. Well, I guess that's good, you know. And so the doctor continues his inspection. And then as he continues his inspection, he says to the boy, now, where was your hurt? Right there. Now, I don't see any evidence of a hurt. I don't see any evidence of a problem. No, doctor, I feel so good. No. And what happened? You can't heal like that. You can't change from being so obviously ill to being whole and perfect. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. Well, doctor, I feel so good inside of myself. Thank you. And the kid gives the doctor the credit. But who really should have the credit?
The kid.
The kid, yeah. Because the kid changed his attitude about it. And this can happen. So, you see, sometimes when you take the kid into the doctor in an incident, the doctor just confirms what you tell him. But when you have him look at it, if the kid or who else is involved has a positive attitude about it, the doctor may find nothing. And it's a common occurrence. Now, you're not really lying. You're not really lying. I have had a lot of people who had conditions, and I said, say you're whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. But it's a lie. Say you're whole and perfect. And I virtually forced them to say they're whole and perfect. And they said it. We'd walk around the grounds, we'd do this, I'd say it, you know, and they say it. Pretty soon, we come back, and we lay down, take a nap or something, and when that person gets up, they're perfect. Now, you say, wow, can I come and walk the path with you and have that experience? No. And the reason you can't walk the path with me and have that experience is because you don't have the feeling that it's already done. When I walk a path with anybody, it's because they're ready to say it's already done. And when they say it's already done, there's nothing more to heal, then it's done. Otherwise, the condition persists and goes on. People have this all the time, these experiences, all the time. There's nothing unusual about it, except when they say I'm home perfect, and then experience it, they say, wow, how nice. But they hadn't lied to themselves, to the appearances, and only speak the truth, their wholeness. It's fantastic, you know, and it's where we are, and it's what we want to do. Now, are you ready for that?
Yes,
me too. So, are you ready to lie to yourself in this appearances? Are you ready to realize that all of these opinions fly away?
Yes.
As nothing?
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. Nice, isn't it?
Thank you.
Alrighty, enjoy.